It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth. A couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I went to a show at Taproot, which is a nightclub on Spinard Road, for something really new. It was called Parlor in the Round. And what happened was there were three musicians on stage who were doing their own songs and then doing each other's songs. And then they were making up songs on the spot. And it was part music event, part improv, and something that I'd never seen before. And I thought, this is really fun. This is something we should get on the radio. And this is something we should get more people out to see. So there's another version of Parlor in the Round coming up this weekend. And I've got some musicians in the studio right now who are promised to have a really fun Hometown Alaska show with us today, who are involved in this thing. And we're going to talk about doing this kind of performance, and we're going to hear some of their music, and we're going to also talk about what it's like to be a musician, singer-songwriter in Anchorage, creating a music scene in our community, and then also recording and moving on to a larger stage. So in the studio, I have with us Nellie Clay. Thanks for being with us, Nellie.
Thank you.
Michael Howard. Thanks.
Hi, Charles.
And Kevin Worrell, who is kind of the godfather of this Parlor in the Round concept, right?
Forget about it.
Yeah. So there's been various attempts to create a music scene in Anchorage, and there's a scene, sometimes our artists go on and become big, and sometimes it seems like it dies out a little bit. And it seems like you're trying to foster something here. What exactly brought this idea out? Where did you come up with this idea of putting three musicians on stage and having them play off each other?
It started with an invitation last year. There was a themed songwriter in the round performance. It was called Women, Wine, and Song. And Rebecca from the Taproot wanted to have three fellas do also a themed round. And, she had made the invitation, and I thought, okay, this is my favorite way to perform. And if we're going to do it, let's try to add something. And then when I started to write my ideas, it just came flooding out, and what flooded out was thoughts about what this music scene has, thoughts about what I would like to see this music scene have, and thoughts about how we could create something that built infrastructure to support what we do have and grow what we want. So
And as an entertainment product for listeners, it's kind of different from going and listening to one performer for a couple of sets or whatever. And it's definitely different from what you expect to hear in a nightclub. It seems like you sort of reached out and created something new here. Was there a model that you're pulling on from somewhere else?
Yeah. I listen to a lot of NPR. I endeavor to do a monologue that's sort of Garrison Keillor-esque. Uh-huh. And I thrive on mountain stage and the reverence they have for the performers there. And so there's some of those things that are intact. But I also, I really thought about, what do I want the audience to experience? And what is it they want to experience? As a songwriter, I can get kind of deep in the well of what I'm experiencing and what I want to say. And I have to consider the audience well. And so this is purposefully more entertaining, like we're really focusing on entertaining. But in a meaningful way that's not clowning.
It struck me a little bit like sitting around the campfire with a couple of people with a guitar rather than sitting down at a concert, waiting for something to happen. Sort of a little bit more, as you say, the parlor. It's like, what was entertainment like before we were listening to records? You're sitting around with instruments and playing.
Yeah, you're exactly talking. That's exactly what we were shooting for. We wanted to be comfortable. But we also wanted to showcase real talent. So we kind of want to split the difference. So it feels like, it kind of feels like you're at a home concert, listening. But also have an opportunity for the musicians to really flex their music muscles, live.
And it's a co-op thing where Anchorage Music Co-op, I know we've heard from before, and it's sort of like a group of musicians doing it. It's not like a promoter is doing it.
No. Yeah. So the Parlor in the Round is to the co-op as Car Talk is to NPR.
Right.
So we are totally aligned with our mission. Uh-huh. And this is just one expression of the endless possibilities for the co-op. The co-op is designed to build and maintain an infrastructure for the local music scene so that we can pool our resources, that when one person gets some momentum going, the others can gain from that, and then others can pitch in to help momentum. So absolutely, that this is an expression of that.
Yeah, very cool. So it's Hometown Alaska, and we're talking about local music today. And if you have questions for our guest, you can call in at 550-8433. If you're outside of Anchorage, there's a toll-free number, 888-353-5752, or you can email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. I'd like to turn to Nellie Clay, who I heard play at the Parlor in the Round in November, and then I got her album and have been listening to it and really enjoying it. And what was it like for you, Nellie, to be in a kind of an unusual setting, right? I mean, because in the first half of the show, you were sort of just playing a few songs and being, you know, that was relatively traditional, although you only got to play a few songs at once. And then the second half, you're like making up songs, you're playing other people's songs. I mean, what was it a little bit scary to do, to sort of change things up like that?
No, actually, I was refreshing. I'm used to kind of fronting a band and doing relatively kind of heavy material of my own. And I think my favorite part of the evening was kind of stepping outside of myself and being kind of willing to act a fool a little bit and get a little bit of laughter. And that was, you know, usually I make people cry. So.
Well, I thought it was amazing. So the intermission was not that long, you know. It was like not hours and hours long.
Yeah.
But when you came back from the intermission, you had written a song based on cards that had been handed in by the audience. So like folks came in. They wrote down a few ideas, and they wrote a song, and it was really cute. It was about this couple at the back, the love song for this couple who was there in the room.
Yeah, that was, I've never done anything like that before. Well, I confess, I usually used to start out my band's practices with me making up a song off the cuff, just to kind of start things off on a light note. But I've never done it in front of people, certainly.
Yeah, really.
And it was, I kind of, you know, preconceived the questions that, you know, would provide answers that I thought would be easy and fun to work with. And it was really sweet and fun to do. And I think they liked it.
did you get to talk to them afterwards?
I did. And they were, they had big smiles. And it was, it felt like a charming moment.
Oh, good. Because it could go the wrong way, right?
Right? Yes.
Yeah. I can imagine certain dates I'd be on when I didn't want to have a song written about them. But I guess
they were willing participants, you know. That was a lot of fun.
The other thing I thought was when you guys were playing each other's songs, I'm not saying there was anything wrong with your performance of your own songs. They were great. But when you were performing, each of you, when you were performing the other artist's songs, it really came to life. And I thought those were the strongest performances of the night, which was kind of surprising. But
yeah.
And it seemed like the other artists thought they were pretty remarkable, too.
Yeah, I think that was probably my second favorite part of the evening. Again, it's stepping outside of what I ordinarily do. And I think that in particular, you know, I feel when you're dealing with somebody else's material, that's a great responsibility to do it justice. And also to not try to do it exactly the way they did it. I'm inclined to put my own, you know, spin on it a little bit, with maintaining the integrity of the original song for sure. But, you know, that's a great responsibility and you want to serve your friends and their songs properly.
Well, this whole new dimension of the song in each case kind of felt like it came through and in a way was what the artist was getting at was even maybe clearer than when you heard the original artist doing it because they're this interpretive. How did you feel about hearing your own song?
Well, yeah, that's interesting. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody else do one of my songs before. And that was a scream. I loved it.
Yeah. So let me turn to Michael Howard. You've been playing around town for a while, and you're going to be doing Circling Around this weekend. I guess it's Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Taproot. And
right.
I don't know, have you prepared for this?
Yeah, you know, a little bit. Like Kevin's making sure that we're prepared when we go in. So we do have some special Christmas themed banter and things that are going on. So yeah,
it seems like from the show I saw that your banter is on high alert because there's a heavy banter element there. And is that like a big part of your usual show that you do?
Yes. I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things. It depends on the audience. Like sometimes it's fine for there to be just a very quiet, solemn audience listening, you know, in sort of a house concert environment. But, you know, the more you get out in public and get into the bars, you know, usually people want to feel good and have a good time. They don't just want to listen to you sing about your feelings, which I have a lot of. Yeah. So I've definitely, you know, when I'm out there on the stage in public, I try to have some fun.
Enlarge your personality a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about singer-songwriters is they finding good places for them to play. And Taproot is not always the best place for a singer-songwriter because it's a place where people go to, you know, it's a better place for a rock band, honestly. But Kevin, somehow you've managed to quiet the place down.
Yeah, it's not me. It's alone. We really partnered. The Taproot came through in support of this event in a really huge way. And they let us, you know, they let us work it out. And we closed off sections of the restaurant and we turned on the lights. And we have table tents that inform folks. And then, you know, a lot of my hosting goes around talking about the value of a listening show and that listening isn't a passive thing, but an active choice to listen quietly. So there's some cues that we build into it. But I have to tell you, I've been struck with how ready the audiences were for this first official season. You know, the pilots, I had to work a little harder, but you know, their Anchorage is ready. They want some of this. So,
well, I think people coming out to hear your show, right? So they know what they're looking for, rather than people just happen to be there.
Right. Yeah, that's true. In fact, you know, I was heartened to see that many of the folks who showed, you know, weren't stumbling in by accident, you know, that they knew about it. But we've had a few who were surprised, too, who showed up for their typical experience and were really enjoyed it as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So, Michael, are you going to be writing a song on the fly on Saturday like Nelly did?
We've got similar. We've got definitely a spot where we need the audience to give us some Christmas-themed ideas. We're going to do a 12 Days of Christmas. And then there's another, like, a cover song challenge that we're doing. So we will be making some things up.
So you've got it all mapped out pretty well.
Yeah, we have a general idea. We know the format of the show, but as far as what's going to happen, we'll see.
Right. Well, I want to hear some music. And so Michael's going to do one of his songs, and Kevin's is going to back him up on the bass. And the show is Hometown Alaska. We're talking about local music and with Nellie Clay, Kevin Morrell, and Michael Howard. And if you want to get on the air with us, the phone number here is 550-8433. And you can also send an email, hometown@alaskapublic.org. And Michael, is this a song you're going to be performing on Saturday?
Yeah, this is one I try to shop around whenever I'm in Alaska because it's pretty Alaska-centric.
All right, what's the story behind it?
Well, it's a true story, Charles, about love and heartbreak and a pair of brown rubber boots.
Okay.
Right here in Alaska.
Sounds good.
All right.
G. We'll go in G, okay. Yeah. Kevin, you look great on the radio, let me tell you. All right, I won't. I saw her walking down the street. That girl was pretty as could be. A short denim skirt and wavy hair. My eyes just could not help but stare. It was 72 degrees, not a cloud in sight. And there's her feet wrapped up so warm and waterproof. She caught me with my mouth hanging open wide. Here we go. Well, don't you know you gotta love that double-dipped brown neoprene? Dressed for business from the waist up, the only skin she's showing is her knees. It's a true story, folks. Well, it didn't make much sense at first. Was she all dressed up and headed to work downtown, making coffee in the art gallery? I wonder if she fishes commercially. Well, I don't care what she does, just keep on doing what you do to me, 'cause I'm so sure that I'm in love with that two-tone brown boot magic on your feet. Well, don't you know you gotta love that double-dipped brown neoprene? Dressed for business from the waist up, the only skin she's showing is her knees. And when I look down at her feet, oh, I know she must be wild and rough. I can't get enough of that girl in extra tough. Well, she's rambling round Alaska, from Kalifornsky to Ketchikan, from Bristol Bay to Barrow. Ooh, you'll try to catch her if you can. But she steal your heart in Juno, Sitka, Seward, and Homer too. Or maybe a radio station here in Anchorage, rubber boots, why don't you walk me home with you? Alright, so, I was working on this song a year or so ago. Something awful happened right in the middle of the song, and I was like, this is a true story, I'm not gonna be able to finish this song, what do I do, Charles? So I diverted course completely to tell the rest of the story, so here's what happens next. So I went down to Costco in Anchorage where I heard they were on sale. I hoped maybe she might like me, so I went and I bought myself a pair. But she saw me standing there in my pair of brand new brown shiny rubber boots, and she looked down at my feet and she was like, she was like, oh Michael, she said your boots were made in China, they'll only fall apart. She left me standing there in my pair of busted rubbers, two wet feet and a broken heart. But hey, don't you know you gotta love that double dipped brown neoprene, dressed for business from the waist up, the only skin she's showing is her knees. And when I look down at her feet, oh I know she must be wild and rough. I can't get enough of that brown boot, loving short skirt, tall boots. And my heart starts thumping, we'll dance all night. And we'll go puddle jumping, cause I can't get enough of that girl in extra tough.
Oh, that was great.
So that Nellie's was, laughing.
Yeah, everybody's
I
laughing.
Can't wipe this grin off right now.
We're just trying to keep from ruining your performance there by laughing to it. Yeah. So that you just heard Michael Howard doing, the song is called Extra Toughs.
It's the Extra Tough song.
The Extra Tough song, which you can hear Saturday night at the Parlor and Round Show at Taproot, which on Spinard Road, which is our topic tonight, or today, is about performing local music in a new way and bringing it out to people. And wow, that's really fun. So, I mean, you would, I mean, and I just, I have to stick with the song for a minute because, I mean, a lot of Alaska, every girl's wearing extra tufts, so you're not that discriminating.
No, it's, that song's written for Alaska and all
that. That sounds about like Michael.
It's got a heartbeat and brown boots.
Oh, Nelly.
So are you, do you know what else you're going to play? I mean, are you gonna try to stick with your funny songs or?
I've got a couple of my more.
A lot of your music's pretty serious, just like Nelly.
It is. That's a good point. I've got, you know, I think the new album I have coming out, there was a lot of, you know, working through things in different creative parts of the spectrum, you know, I was messing with. And I think that, you know, along the way, I have a lot of kind of funky, goofy songs like that that aren't on this new album, but they'll have a place in a new CD. But I try to mix it up and have some ups and downs.
I mean, you guys can all respond to this, but it seems to me like as a performer, when you're just trying to keep people happy and having fun, you got to have some funny, cute, upbeat songs, even though when you actually do sort of like your more artistic stuff or the stuff you want to record, it's going to be more serious, more, you know, sort of taking a little bit more to get into, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, or if you don't have a funny song in your back pocket, there better be some comic relief in between the songs.
Yeah, everybody will sort of sit there and slowly get depressed or like stop listening and talk to each other because it's too quiet, right?
It depends on
the crowd. I mean, if they already hear you, then that's, you know, if they're really sitting down to listen to you. But
mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't it true like in local music, and you guys can all jump in on this, a lot of times you're playing for people who have no idea who you are and you've got to try to create a connection out of nothing. Kevin, I know you played around town a lot.
Sure, yeah. You know, it's so nuanced, the, you know, how to make those song choice decisions in the moment, and, you know, how do I stay true to my message and my songs and still captivate the audience. And yeah, so I think that you're constantly reading and looking. And, you know, Jonathan Bauer was on the first Parlor, and he's great. His songs are, you know, pretty intense and pensive, and his comic relief between, you know, smashing, like hilarious.
Yeah,
and it was the right balance. And
I think he's hilarious.
Yeah, he's great. So yeah, I think you're always
look at Woody Allen. He's always depressed, but he's funny.
Right? Yeah.
So I don't know if you have to be funny, like slapstick funny.
Yeah.
And I think that entertaining and engaging, you know, mm-hmm. And you just find it takes practice, right? The more you practice, the more you know when you can really lay in that beautiful song that is well hewn that needs listening. So,
mm-hmm.
So Kevin, you have played around town with a lot of different bands, mm-hmm. playing the bass. Sugar Strings, I've heard you play with them, and they can really rock, even though they're an acoustic band.
Sure.
But you also have your own music that you sort of started out as from a singer-songwriter place and have spread out, right?
That's right. Yeah, I'm still very passionate about songwriting. It's still my main thing. It's just when you start playing bass, the phone doesn't stop ringing, you know?
Uh-huh.
I don't have to be good. You just keep calling. So, no, in fact, so playing the bass helped me play with a ton of other bands and helped me see what a vibrant community that we have. And it was part of the foundation for why I want to do this show, that this community is really strong and it's present. It's just not always visible.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I want to hear from you. I mean, you guys have all, tell me if this is not true, but you've all played other places and played here too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So how does Anchorage compare to other places you've played in terms of what the scene is like, how many opportunities there are to play, and what the audiences are like? Who wants to jump in on that one?
Ooh,
Michael?
That's a topic. It's great. It's amazing. I mean, the musicians up here are so hardworking, so talented, so, I mean, just like robust is the word, and the way we work together and put on shows and make things happen and all help each other out. And, you know, we're all artists in this together, and it's just, it's solid here. It's a very good, very good hometown, homegrown community. It's a great, great thing to be a part of. It's, you know, sometimes it gets to be a small world, you know, and you know, as a musician, we're always kind of trying to look bigger and get exposed to other things, which is why we roam around. But I mean, it's awesome being a part of the community up here. Uh-huh. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's in some ways it's easier to get higher profile gigs here than you would be on a large city scene, where you're if you can get on the bill, you're one of four major acts. You got a 30 or 45 minute set. Plus here too, you're playing the 4-hour bar circuit that still exists from several decades ago.
Like the trenches.
Yeah. And you get muscle bound, mm-hmm. you know, right? So there's some unique things.
You need a lot of music, huh?
Yeah. What do you think, Nelly? I mean, speak of the trenches.
Yeah. I think, you know, there's a couple different kind of experiences I've had as a musician in Alaska. And one of them is, you know, those long bar gigs where, you know, you've got a intoxicated audience that wants to, you know, tear it up, and you got to cater to that. And it's a marathon. And that's good for you, too, because it is the trenches and you need to have a thick skin while being like wide open at the same time. And on the flip side,
and you're kind of making the party too, right?
If
you don't have that attitude, you know, the mood is going to go down and it's not going to be fun. Yeah.
Right. And then it's bad for everybody.
Right.
But then on the other hand, the audience is here, I think, because it is Alaska and we're in a unique place. It's surrounded by incredible wilderness, which attracts and breeds a certain type of individual. And I found it a very, for somebody starting out when I did, that I found, you know, kind audiences, you know, and humble fellow musicians without egos, you know, and friendly and welcoming audiences, you know, that I don't know that you'd get in a bigger pond.
Yeah, I think that's true. We have the famous Anchorage standing ovation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll give a standing ovation for like the stage announcements, you know. It's like whatever it is, we'll stand up for it. So how did you, I mean, you have been performing, you said, for 8 years, or you've been playing for eight years?
Probably about 7 years, I think. And I started out really small in Moose Pass playing Solstice Festival, you know, just an extension of the campfire. And then in Talkeetna for a while, and you know, Taproot and stuff in Anchorage and Salmon Stock.
So the small town Alaska is even more friendly to local musicians, and you know, more. I mean, Anchorage is more. I mean, we do have mm-hmm. venues here where people aren't really paying that much attention. But if you're in Talkeetna or Moose Pass,
they're paying attention. There's a lot of love.
Yeah, really.
And there's even more love for anything that happens after 2 a.m.
So let me. Here's an email that we received from a listener, Emily. Is this music event at Taproot considered family friendly? My boys were eating up the Extra Tough song. What a great program! Thanks for your guests for sharing. I guess that's one for you, Kevin. Is it a good place to bring kids? It is at a bar.
Right. So we are targeting our content. I like to leave it really open for the artists to be themselves, but we are shooting for the middle ground because we want to embrace our whole community. The Taproot is, you know, there's laws, you know, it's a restaurant and a bar that serves cocktails. And so if I'm going to need to double check this, but I believe that children can come with their parents until 9 o'clock. So they could make most of this show. I would love to, as this, if the parlor is successful, if people, if we can build an audience that will grow, I will move the parlor into, it will stay hopefully at the Taproot, and it will travel as well, and it will get more available. So
yeah, I think it's fun to have a beer while you're listening. And I guess that from my perspective, I would bring my teens. I don't think I'd bring a younger kid. I think they'd be bored, for one thing.
Topically, I think.
We're shooting more for a little more mature audience, but we're keeping it PG. I think.
PG-13. I've got some PG-13 jokes I'll be throwing out
there. All right. Yeah, just to do the joke, but then just leave out the punchline. Right?
But thanks for listening out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Emily.
So Nelly, I want to hear you do a song. I mean, I have no idea what you're going to perform, but you've got a guitar there.
And I don't know either.
No. I really enjoyed your performance at the Taproot. The stuff when you're doing other people's stuff, and then also your own music. And I've been enjoying your first album. In the second half, we'll talk about the new stuff you guys got coming out. But do a song for us.
All right, I'm going to do a song that is on the new record, and it's called Oklahoma, which is where I was born. And we talked a little bit earlier about my reputation may be of, you know, serious songs, sometimes sad songs, but I feel it's important to say that there's, and these aren't my words, I'm picking them up from another musician, that there's a difference between a sad song and a hopeless song. So I think that whether it happens lyrically or musically, I hope there's some hope in the sad songs. So this is called Oklahoma. All the good ones have died, and the ones left behind have all lost their ways, done terrible things, kept me away. I wanna drive down your roads where nobody goes. Windows roll down, only the sound of Oklahoma.
lovely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, Nelly.
You oh, sound Kevin. Good.
My goodness.
That big voice comes out of this little tiny person. Isn't that amazing? All right. It's that was Nelly Clay, and the show is Hometown Alaska. We're going to take a break and come back and hear some more music from Nelly and from Michael Howard and from Kevin Worrell. We're talking today about Parlor and Round, the show that's taking place this weekend, where you can hear local musicians in a sort of a new setting. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to give out some phone numbers and email address so you can get on the air with us. We're going to be hearing more music and talking more about local music. So stay with us as Hometown Alaska continues.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 9 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth, and we're talking today about local music. And we'd love to hear your comments and questions if you want to talk to our musicians who are in the studio. The number here in Anchorage is 550-8433. Statewide, it's 888-353-5752. And you can reach us by email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. I'm Charles Wolforth, and I have three musicians in the studio, Kevin Worrell, Nelly Clay, and Michael Howard. And they're all involved in Parlor and the Round, which is this multi-musician show that's happening Saturday night at the Taproot on Spinard Road. Begins at 7 p.m. and the cover charge is $10. And you can find out about tickets. I believe it's taprootalaska.org. Yeah, that's
.com.
Right. .com. Taprootalaska.com. Although I'm sure you can probably get tickets at the door as well.
That's right.
So, so Michael, you have been away from town. You've been working on an album. It sounds like such a huge project to put out a really well-produced album. And I want to learn a little bit about that journey, what it was like writing the songs and then trying to get them to sound the way you imagine them.
Yeah. You know, and it was a huge journey. And I looked around at other people that have put out multiple albums. Like, how many albums have you had, Nelly?
Just about to release the second one.
The second one, so it's probably similar for you. The learning curve is just so steep. Like, you think, like, oh, I wrote this hit song. I mean, that's what I think when I write a song, and now I'm going to record it, and then it'll be out there. But it's just, there's so many moving pieces, and, you know, finding the right people to work with, and you're putting your art out there, and you're putting a ton of your own money into it. So I worked a little bit out of Anchorage with some great local guys up here that do a lot of recording, and then I also made my way, because I'm, you know, trying to grow through it. I went down to San Francisco and recorded down there, and just got a ton out of that whole experience, you know. And it's been a year-long investment, and working with, you know, a dozen different people and sending files all over the country, like to Chicago, and like, wow, like it's cool.
Well, you had a Kickstarter to raise some money for this, but then also, I'm sure you're putting in money, and then also you're losing work time, right? Because you're traveling around recording music. And I know, I mean, everybody in this room is a freelancer and so has to make money somehow. So just in terms of investing, you're really investing in your art, right? I mean,
Indeed. Yeah. And it's, you know, this is all under the premise that I'm going to be out playing music. And, you know, that's now what I'm working towards, like booking some shows.
Sell the CDs at the shows.
Sell the CDs, yeah.
And that's really how it works these days. I mean, you're going to sell CDs at shows, and that's sort of how you make a little bit more money when you perform, right? That's sort of the...
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, some people have thought that CDs are gone by the wayside, but they're definitely not. Like, I still want CDs. Everybody who, when I see a good artist playing, I want their CD, I want to take them home, and...
I'd have to say that's about the only time I buy CDs anymore for myself, is that I see a great artist, the CD is there, I really want that CD, but if I'm at home and I hear a song, then I might just buy the download, you know, and listen, and, you know, just buy a couple of songs, which I realize is not giving that much money to the artist, but you know, you did. That's the song you wanted to hear. So the sort of the way things have changed has I think changed the way you get your money, right, as a musician.
Yeah, it's a big. You guys can chime in too. It's a big nebulous music industry out there, mm-hmm. and it's not anyone I think quite even knows what's going on, but. In summary, I think there's a lot of opportunity for a do-it-yourself musician.
Yeah, we've got a few locals who are finding their way, right? So mm-hmm. Marion Call, successful, yep. spends a lot of time, invested a lot of time here, and now spends a lot of time on her circuit out there, which is broad.
Right.
We've also got, there's a few other folks, who we've seen, really do well, who've found their way. And I think that it's evolving. I think that if I want to be successful commercially, I need to, and I mean, so when I say commercially, I just mean like I want to be able to fund the art. Mm-hmm. I've got to be able to be dynamic and find where that fits. I think there's mm-hmm. different markets, right? There's Nellie, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I agree. And I'm certainly, the learning curve is huge. And I've been going outside a lot lately and dividing my time between here in Nashville and trying to learn as much as I can. And yeah, there's different ways. I mean, you can kind of, you peddle your CDs and I'm taking an extra step in pressing vinyl with this album because I'm a big fan of having a record player in your house. And that's kind of exciting. And then also, kind of learning that a good way for musicians to make money these days, too, is through publishing. We try to get the instrumental versions of your tunes in movies and things like that. There's a lot of different avenues right. on the business end of things, I reckon.
But as far as you building your sort of foundation, Michael, that was performing around town and getting people who liked your music. And then you got to the point where, yeah, people would kick into a Kickstarter for you to help you make an album, which shows that you actually had a following from here in Anchorage and that the community was supporting you.
Indeed, yeah. And we, like I said, like Anchorage in Alaska, but, we're looking at Anchorage a lot. It's big enough that there are a lot of resources and you can make a lot of friends and build a good audience here, but yet it is small enough that everybody's, a phone call away and it's, we can get the word out about shows and new music and mm-hmm. things. So
when is your new album coming out?
Well, I actually just set that up via iTunes because that's the day it'll actually be out there. But January 9th, so all just right. after the new year.
And what's it called?
It's called The Martyr and the Magician. Kind of a schnazzy title.
Yeah.
Schnazzy.
And we have a song from the album called Brutal Heart, which we're going to play just a little bit of. Tell us about the song.
Let's see. I was in Idaho working. I try to keep all my songs like fairly true, but I'll bend the storyline just to keep it interesting or get at the actual point I'm trying to get at. But I was in Idaho working and the song is just one of those. It sort of wrote itself. I didn't have to struggle on it at all. It's just kind of a pensive, I don't know what it's about. It's about a breakup, really. But
I found that the music is usually speaks better for itself, right?
Yeah.
So let's hear some of this song, "Brutal Heart" by Michael Howard.
If I don't make it far, at least I got there gracefully. And if you're all that I need, I wish I knew what was good for me. 'Cause it was written from the start, a brutal heart needs space to roam. And if we're all made of stars, then let those northern winds carry me back.
Wow, sounded good, Michael. Is that our world premiere?
Yeah, that's the first time that's been out on the airwaves anywhere.
So, that production, yeah. I mean, the production there's a lot of effort and money involved in producing sound like that, right?
Yeah, and that song has a whole, every local musician you've ever heard of, I think, went through and played on that one. So there's a lot of people are playing on that and uh-huh. recorded here in Anchorage. And then, yeah.
Yeah. So it must feel really good, though, to have the final product. And I guess I'm interested in, is it like, I've written books and the book comes out and like there's a certain rush you get, like when the book, first box of books arrives at your front door and you see it and you're like, oh my God, I created this, right?
Yeah.
Are you feeling that?
I'm just getting used to it. I have a lot of like I told you, I have a lot of feelings, but I mean, I have a lot of like mixed feelings about it, uh-huh. Like it's your, you can all relate. It's your art. You put yourself in it. It's a process. It's a weird point in time thing. Like, I had feelings when I made that, you mm-hmm. know, about, like, whatever the topic is. And now it's, you know, it's a year later now. So I don't feel that anymore. But I, you know, I can sort of take a step back and look at the final product and think, you know, that's something I'm proud of. And I'm happy to share it with people. And I hope they get something
yeah.
out of it.
Yeah. So for you guys, singer-songwriters, your emotions are sort of like your product, right, Nellie? I mean, you're sort of... Like your emotions are creating this work, and then you're putting it out there for the world, and they accept it, reject it, ignore it, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, sure, that's what makes us human beings, and so that's what groups us all together. So yeah, hopefully, you know, it's personal, but it's not personal because we all feel the same things, we all experience the same, you know, high moments and low moments.
Mm-hmm. What was your album? I know you have an album coming out. When is it coming out?
I'm not totally sure.
But it's all recorded.
But I just received the masters back this week, so it'll be fairly soon. And I worked with a New York producer for that and did step outside of Alaska a little bit, though there are a handful of great Alaskan musicians on it as well as Nashvillians and New Yorkers. And it's an incredible feeling to, you know, take that sound that you heard rolling around in your head and manifest it, really, into reality.
Was it a challenge, like Michael was saying, to raise the money and actually get it done?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I prefer not to talk about the money end of things or whatever. It's the necessary evil. And I try not to think about it.
So when you're working with other people, I just always wonder if there's any sort of effort in getting them to see your vision so that what comes out in the recording is what you wanted to start out at the beginning, because a lot of people are involved, right?
Right. I would say no, because I think if you find the right people, you know, they hear what you're doing and they like what they're doing, and pretty much what they play back to me is spot on. Like, so if they don't get it and I have to explain myself, then they're probably the wrong person for the job.
Uh-huh. So you've played with enough people here in Anchorage that you know.
Yeah, I mean,
I
work with Aaron Benalkin of the Whipsaws a lot, and which everybody does. He's in high demand, and I've always felt really close to him because I feel like musically he reads my mind. You know that I'll bring, brought some new songs to him, and he sits down with a pedal steel, and it's like he's playing my heartstrings or whatever. You know, that sounds corny, but it's like he musically reads my mind.
Huh. What I'm hearing from you guys is that there is a community of musicians here who's really supportive for each other. It's not real competitive or anything, but you guys know each other's work and you're backing each other up.
Help each other out, yeah.
You know, the Parlor of the Round, it's actually designed to synthesize a little bit of that healthy competition that we see in more dense populated areas. So we can still draw on the community, but there's these assignments we give each other to have that little bit of creative tension, which is ultimately really good for all of us to grow. But yes, I really love being on the scene where I have like family. You know, we go to Salmon Stock and we're finally all in the same place for a weekend and we can hear each other's music, and it's such a lovely time.
Yeah,
so
cool.
Yeah, I love being a part of this community.
Yeah, it's like the biggest family reunion. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, I was just going to say, it didn't feel, when I saw your Parlor and Around show, it didn't feel competitive to me. It felt sort of like, I mean, it was interesting to see these different voices and their different ways of performing. But did you feel competitive at all, Nellie, in terms
no,
of like...
No, not at all. It felt like an extension of the campfire.
Yeah.
And Taproot, I feel like I've spent so much time on that stage that it feels like my living room. So, yeah.
Cool. So it's Hometown Alaska. We're talking about local music today in this Parlor in the Round show that's coming up Saturday night. And Nellie, you have a new album coming out, and we have a little cut from it, just a short teaser, like we did with Michael, of a song called Nine Kinds of Hell. Can you tell us about this?
I sent you guys a few. I wasn't sure which one you were going to pick. And this has also never, ever been heard before. But you picked Nine Kinds of Hell. That's excellent. I wrote that about my sister-in-law as one of the verses, you know, would reveal. So again, you know, sometimes, I'm just being really honest here, sometimes people don't always treat you right or do the right thing, and it's, you know, socially unacceptable to sock them one, but you can always write a song.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's this one.
And that's where a lot of the best ones come from. All right, so we're going to hear from Nellie Clay, the song Nine Kinds of Hell.
I knew you didn't like me when you caught me drinking whiskey in the parking lot outside the chapel. You gave me a dirty eye and gathered up the kids and you marched them right into the chapel. Now one of these days I'm gonna dance on your grave, kick up my heels and holler. Well, thank God for you, your bad soul has been saved. You've been nine kinds of hell and a bother.
All right, and Nellie Clay, Nine Kinds of Hell. What's the name of the album?
I believe I'm going to call it Never Did What I Should Have Done, which is, I always say, is not about regrets, but it's really about not doing what other people maybe thought I should have done.
And so people can find out about where you guys are performing from your websites? Do you have a website?
It's under construction.
All right.
Soon, yeah. It'll Michael? Be NellieClay.com when it's up, yeah.
Okay.
And mine is M, as in Michael. Howard is in Howard. Music is in music. So mhowardmusic.com.
All right.
Try to keep that all up to date.
And Kevin, are you playing your own music around, or are you playing only with other people?
I desperately want to get back to playing my own music, and I have an endless supply of wonderful offers. So I'm still really embedded, but I have a beautiful record that we made out in Williamsburg with a musical family from Chicago and who flew over, and then a bunch of folks from New York, and I'm looking forward to that release. Just to backtrack a little bit, I spent a lot of my own money on that, and we recorded the tape with, you know, the perfect studio, and I need the right amount of money to mix and master that appropriately, mm-hmm. and I'm willing to wait. And you know, I'm a dad here in town. I'm not going anywhere. So yeah. Like, I would desperately love to get on the road and travel and push this record, but it's okay for me to wait to do it right. And,
right, and we're going to hear a little bit of that later on. But
cool.
But what it sounds like you're investing a lot of your time in like helping other people, you know, in sort of like doing this parlor and around thing and the music co-op and all this other stuff. And and there's, you know, for as a musician, it's like to push your own stuff out. Mm-hmm. There takes a little bit of aggressiveness to do that, right? Like,
yeah, I was very aggressive in the first 10 years of my songwriting career, and I did a lot of travel. And had great experiences, but I need this scene to be as vibrant as I need it to be, and so I'm very happy to invest in it, and it always pays off great dividends, you know. So yeah, I really miss playing my music, mm-hmm. And having my record out there and be able to do that thing, but it'll come, you know, it'll come around.
So what I'm just curious is what brought you to Anchorage? I mean, it may have nothing to do with music, but well, in Chicago, it seems like bigger town, more opportunities. Yeah. No,
I mean, no. Hear me now, Alaska. I love you dearly. but having a child come into my life. So I'm from Wasilla, proudly, mm-hmm. and I had this baby boy and needed to set down roots and have a family here. And Anchorage was closer to New York City than New York City. So here I am in Anchorage. And what I've discovered in investing here is that I love this place and actually love the balances here, the beauty that surrounds us, the community opportunities that I feel like I would not have found in different scenes. Like every place has got its own beauty, but I really am feeling very much like very, very proud to be in Alaska on the Alaskan music scene. And I love being here. So if it doesn't have what I want, I just am trying to get out there to help it get made, you know?
Right. Well, and friends I know who are in Brooklyn and trying to make music there are not only not making money at their gigs, but they're sometimes paying to get a gig,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Just pay to play.
They present their music. And that does not happen here, right? I mean, you may not get a lot, but at least you're not paying to perform.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. You hear different takes on that. But I can say, yeah, I've been more profitable here than with a band than in other places, you know, on the short term, mm-hmm. you know, the quality of the experience is different than, you know, but,
I mean, it's you're not going to maybe rocket to stardom from Anchorage. I mean, what everybody's looking for in Brooklyn is that they're going to get the big break, right? That's why they're paying to play. Here you can, you know, maybe make some money as a musician and not have quite as much access to the large media.
Yeah. You know, so like I said, there's things that we can synthesize. Mm-hmm. And there's things that we can grow, you know, and we've got the right materials to do it right here. And fortunately, there's technology that helps us spread out so that Anchorage can be as accessible as other places. Yet it has some very unique things that are, you're never going to be able to put, you know, the Chugach on the internet, man. It's going to be on the dirt.
So. Well said.
Yeah, this is the place to raise kids, not Brooklyn. That's my statement.
No diss, Brooklyn.
Yeah. Well, I was born there, as a matter of fact, but I've lived here since I was 3 years old, so I'm a bit prejudiced. So, Kevin, I want to hear a little teaser from your record. This song is called Hey You. Any intro or lead in for it?
I wrote this song to be sang as a duet with Marion Call, and then I called her and said, hey, do you want to come sing on the record? But I was in Brooklyn, and we were recording a couple days later, and she was in wherever she was. And so I recorded the duets with my dear friend Vicky Natale, who's had a very successful music career, and a friend of mine from back in New York. And this is a bunch of musicians from the band Beer Money who are, you know, totally solid cats. And then a fiddle player who we found in the studio next to us who was recording a movie soundtrack, and he walked in and crushed it.
All right.
So awesome. that's the deal there.
All right. So this is Hey You by Kevin Worrell.
Oh, I just thinking on you. Do you like jam on your bread? Are you the kind that might spread that peanut butter with a jelly spoon? Or maybe you like oatmeal instead. Maybe you take your grapefruit bread. Maybe you like eggs running like I do. Oh, hey, you hear me? Hey, you give me chills from the top of my head down to my
All right, that was Kevin Worrell. I feel like we should have like had some longer cuts because I've like just started listening to the song and want to hear more of it. But it sounds great. So that is a record that nobody can buy because it hasn't been like turned into a record yet.
You know, like I said, I'm going to do it right, and I promise you will all know.
That I believe. That I believe. So it's Hometown Alaska. We're talking about local music. We have just a 5 minutes left. There's a question that you guys may not like answering, but I think it'd be fun and interesting. What is the, and I could answer maybe about book signings, what is the worst gig, the worst performing situation that you have endured?
Oh, Charles. Especially, live on the radio.
Charles. Yeah, yeah. I'm throwing it right at you. They've all been great, huh? Every single one is
all right.
Fantastic.
First one that comes to mind, I was playing music table to table in Mexico, and we were walking back to our pretty shabby neighborhood, and we stopped off, and there was an impromptu party happening around a car, and they were our neighbors, and they wanted us to play a couple of songs, and we asked about payment a few songs deep, and a 9mm came out, and it turns out they just wanted to fire off some celebratory shots, but I was nervous. my music partner, who was a local, like didn't even miss a chord, man. He was right in it. But
sounds like a command performance.
Yeah,
huh?
It was a little
intense. So you were doing like Brooklyn? That was
in the gutters of Cabo San Lucas.
We're going to like bring down values in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Wow. So Kevin has got I'm seeing a whole new dimension to your life.
Oh, no, the Knick Bar. That's another, you'll have to tap me on for the Knick Bar was far worse, but that's another story altogether. Yeah.
So the inattentive audiences would be one thing, but probably the guy who refuses to pay would be the worst, right? Do you guys want to jump in? I want to hear some of your war stories.
So I got one. This was one time I had fallen asleep in the back of the van, and I thought we were in Idaho. So I woke up, and I was playing the gig, and it was like, you know, pretty rough. Not like a quiet crowd, you know? And so I was like, you know, I tried to warm them up. I was telling some jokes. I got nothing from them, and we're in Idaho, so I was like, well, hey, you guys know Josh Ritter? And I like played a Josh Ritter song. Like, he's from Idaho, cool. And like, nothing. And I was like, yeah, go Vandals. Like, nothing. Finally, like, right at the end of the gig, this guy in the front row was like, we're in Washington, because we had gone back into Washington while I was asleep. And like, sometimes I can play off the awkward, but that was just like, dead, man.
Oh, no.
Like, I was dead in the water. It was over. So.
Whoa. Like,
that's terrible.
I didn't know what city I was in. Yeah.
I'm such a rock star, I don't even know where
right.
I'm at.
That's like, right.
Thank you, Cleveland.
Okay, Nellie, now it's your turn to top those.
You know, I don't know if I can. I mean, there's nothing like, there's nothing that stands out in my mind. I mean, like I've had, I think at the Fairview in Talkeetna, I think a gal, you know, dance into the mic stand and split my lip. Oh. You know, I get a little bloody or something like that. You know, it usually involves maybe people have had too much to drink. I think an incident at the Brown Bear with, you know, some things kind of some altercations breaking out, which always feels surreal, like you're in sort of a movie or something.
Yeah,
but
really.
You know, that's all, like, you know, nothing terrible that I can think
of. Things that happen late night in bars are, yeah.
Right, and maybe they're all blurring together. I'm not sure.
Well, it's good to have a positive attitude, not remember the negative thing.
Yeah.
So what kind of music are you doing when you're doing a party or a big, you know, a late night bar thing? Are you doing sort of you're doing something different from what you were doing for us today, right?
Yeah, I mean, my album that's coming out, you know, there's definitely, you know, introspective songs that are going to, you know, maybe make you think and feel, mm-hmm. but there's absolutely some rockers on this record as well. There's some screaming guitars and keyboards from a Brooklyn musician, uh-huh. as a matter of fact, and things like that. But I think when we did the long bar gigs, you know, you got 4 hours.
You
got you know, maybe only half of that is original material. Because you got to remember where you are, you know, and people are there to drink and party and have a good time. And, you know, you should probably know at least one Merle Haggard tune.
There you go. And Michael, you're going to be performing Saturday at Parlor and Around at the Taproot. Do you got your set figured out?
I think so. I know. I think one or two that I'll open with, and we'll see how things go. But I definitely put together some special stuff just for the show. That's pretty fun.
So. Uh-huh. And Kevin, I'm interested in the economics of this. Is this something that is gonna keep going? Is it gonna make it? Is it like still on the bubble?
Yeah, we've got it is on the bubble. We have a marker we need to hit. We need a core audience. We need 125 tickets sold consistently between now and the end of our season. Right now the Taproot's been very generous to help us out, and I'm personally bankrolling anything that doesn't make it. So this is the one season. We got one shot. Yeah, so don't wait till next season. Come out.
Yeah, but it's a really fun show, and I think that you know, our listeners, you know, it's right in the middle of the holidays, so there'd be a lot of parties going on.
Sure.
But if you're not going to a party, you go to the Taproot, and
it's early enough that you can come out for the show.
That's right.
Get warmed up. You can go out. You can go out afterward.
You know, it's like this. If you
they got good food there too.
Totally. Mm-hmm. If you dig Arctic Entries, you're the right kind of person for this.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
It's built on that model. And,
it's just flipped. Instead of mostly talk, it's mostly music. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, yeah, it's kind of, it, yeah, probably. But it's same essence, you know,
uh-huh.
and the community coming together. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Go down for dinner. Listen to the music. Mm-hmm. You will be glad you did. All right. Well, thanks. Nellie Clay, Michael Howard, Kevin Worrell. A lot of great music they're doing. You can check them out on our website at alaskapublic.org. And the show is at the Taproot on Spinard Road Saturday at 7. Next week on Hometown Alaska, join Kathleen McCoy for a show on the Light Brigade, putting on an installation at Elderberry Park. It's a centennial event, and it looks really neat. Pat Yak is Chief Content Officer for Alaska Public Media. Grace Bojean is our production assistant. Monica Goki is our web editor and audio engineer. Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.